Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, October 14th, 2016. I am Jason Powell, joined today by Jake Barnett, and we are going to be focusing exclusively today on the mess that is TNA Impact Wrestling from a business perspective. Of course, everybody knows that on Wednesday, Billy Corgan, who is identified as the president of TNA, filed a lawsuit in a Nashville court. He's filed a temporary restraining order bond and an application for a temporary injunction against TNA and its management team. The people listed in this: Dixie Carter, her husband, Serge Salinas, Dean Broadhead, who is the CFO, and then TNA and Impact Wrestling Ventures, I believe, is what they're identifying themselves as well. And I guess, Jake, we will start there, because I think there's some questions about, with everything being sealed so far, some of the legal terminology. You and I were just talking off air about it. The restraining orders that are in there, I think there's some misunderstanding, and maybe it's us, but I don't think so. I think there's some, I've read reports that make it seem like it's that they're stalking him or something, you know, kind of that type of restraining order. And I think this is very different.
Yeah, he got a temporary restraining order in pursuance of an injunction, which is to, you know, he's trying to prevent them from performing some kind of business transaction. And because the documents have been sealed and the court, you know, it's not available for public download, we really don't know as of yet what that is. And I don't think Billy or his representation has made any public comment about that yet. And I'm sure, you know, as details start to come out, you know, we'll be reporting on that. But as of right now, he is just attempting to restrain the company from entering into business transactions.
And it would certainly, my strong speculation is that he is trying to prevent them from selling the company. And I don't know that. No sources confirm that. It's just kind of it's my best guess at this point. I did get a quote today from Billy Corgan's spokesperson, Lissa Druss Chrisman, and I hope I'm getting that right. And the quote is, as president, Billy is looking out for the long-term interest of the company, its employees, its talent, as well as its stakeholders and contractors. And that is the end of the quote. And I mean, anything to take from that, Jake? I totally understand that the parties involved in this are basically, I don't know if there's any official gag order, but I mean, nobody wants to speak on record.
I mean, this is completely me just reading the tea leaves here, but I mean, it sounds like, you know, he's at least making a case that that the officers of the company have not been completely honest with everybody involved, you know, other parties perhaps. Aerolux wasn't included on, were they included on the lawsuit?
No, they're not. My understanding is because I did ask, like, okay, at why Surge too? And it's kind of an executive thing. It's the people, I mean, Aerolux technically not executives of the company, even though they have a minority share of the company. So,
and neither is Anthem Sports, the other minority owner who runs Fight TV. And so I'm assuming, you know,
Fight Network. There's a Fight TV app, and then there's a Fight Network up in Canada.
Pardon me. So there, you know, he's attempting to restrain the listed officers of the company from performing, you know, their duties for as of this moment, because he clearly thinks that they're operating, you know, in against the interest of TNA, and as president, he has an obligation to prevent them from doing that.
As far as the, you know, his lawsuit against, in this case, it's going to play out next Thursday is when there's a hearing scheduled in Nashville in the Chancery Court. And it's something I don't know at that point if documents become unsealed. Right now, everything is kind of sealed up, and so we don't know exactly what he's going for. Again, I can't stress enough, I haven't heard this from people. It's just me kind of speculating. But I do wonder, Jake, if this is, he's clearly expressed interest in buying this company. He has funded TNA tapings with the goal of keeping this company alive, because had he not, and someone else not stepped in, they were not going to have tapings. We've been down this road several times. And all indications are that he did so with the belief that he was going to have a chance to purchase this company. And I don't know if there's anything in writing that says, yes, he gets first crack at this, or, you know, anything like that. And I think all of that's going to come out in the lawsuit. But what else do you think he would possibly be suing for at this point?
The only other thing, you know, that comes up is, you know, it's possible that he may be suing them for fraud. It appears that, you know, the other lawsuit in question that has popped up in recent days, filed at the end of September in U.S. District Court in Virginia by Audience of One Productions, they're suing TNA for fraud, claiming that, you know, the officers of the company, and I believe they listed the Harris brothers as officers of the company because there was some confusion between Aerolux and TNA as to who the Harris brothers actually worked for, because they...
Officially, Ron Harris is listed along with Aerolux.
Okay, so, well, apparently Ron Harris had a TNA email address and introduced himself as a employee of TNA, even though that's not officially the case. And so that, you know, as part of the legal filing, the Audience of One Productions has sort of asked that he be considered a part of both entities at this point. And so if Billy is in a similar situation, and we really don't know, because we have no, you know, we don't have access to the documents that he filed and what his claims are at this point. You know, if he was defrauded, he may simply be trying to get his money back and walk away.
And that's true. Very possible. The only thing that makes me feel like it is still him looking at trying to block them from doing something is simply that he said he wants the company. And maybe that's changed. You know, maybe he's still... there's indications that maybe he would be interested in just doing a startup if that's... I don't know what exactly it is people are trying to buy with all the debt that is out there. But just the fact that he's blocking them from doing something. And I guess it could be he's trying to block them from spending money elsewhere, Jake. I mean, I guess I don't know enough about how the
or taking on more debt. I mean, sure. I think the issue that popped up around Bound for Glory, and we reported on that and talked about it at the time, was that they were, you know, there were sincere questions that Billy himself acknowledged in several interviews about how they were going to fund the Bound for Glory pay-per-view. Would it actually air? Would the tapings that were scheduled for the following week happen? And, you know, there was that 11th hour deal struck to get money to do that, and it wasn't from Billy, or at least that he didn't acknowledge that was the case. And there seemed to have been some kind of internal fracture over that, and come to find out, you know, through filings in the state of Tennessee, there was some additional debt taken on by TNA. The amount is unknown. To a company called MCC Acquisition Corporation, which has the same address in Canada as the Fight Network. And so how that all plays into this, and whether that was the actual cause of things escalating to the point that they are, we don't know exactly. But the facts are that TNA took on some additional debt to fund the Bound for Glory show and those tapings, and things have apparently taken a turn for the worse since then between the relationship with Corgan and TNA management.
Fight Network also a minority shareholder in this, or whatever, you know, whatever company name they're going by, but they have also been, and it goes prior to just this infusion of cash that they supplied to keep this going. You know, the Audience of One lawsuit, Jake, $222,000, and some change. $222,123.43 is what they are trying to get back along with interest. And this goes all the way back to Bound for Glory 2015. They were hired to do the production for that. And you and I have both seen the actual lawsuit. And, I mean, the story they tell, I mean, TNA is going to have their chance to respond, obviously. It's, I mean, wow. It just seems like TNA was in a horrible financial situation. And, I mean, just reading their version of the events, it just makes it seem like TNA was essentially stringing them along. And there was eventually some sort of a new payment schedule that they set up, and they kind of they fell behind on that quickly as well. I mean, it just sounds like this company has been living on borrowed time for well over a year.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. And you know, the order of events is kind of astonishing to read. You know, just putting it all together, they owe Audience of One Productions almost $300,000. They paid TNA directly paid some of the on-site contractors who were actually performing the production work,
right,
somewhere close to $30,000, and that apparently calmed them down so they would actually come on site to do the work, because Audience One was actually contractually obligated to pay them, but they weren't going to write the checks until TNA came forward with the money, and so TNA ended up paying them directly. So that was eventually subtracted from the money that TNA owed Audience One, but they then apparently went radio silent after they had tried to make a payment plan with Audience of One. And right around the same time, according to the lawsuit filing, TNA had taken a loan from Aerolux, which is apparently how Aerolux became involved in the whole debt to equity swap to become a minority owner in the company. And apparently the lien that TNA took on from Aerolux was supposed to keep them running for the rest of 2016, but that just didn't end up panning out. And apparently Aerolux now, holds the keys to all of TNA's, rings and, technical equipment and everything else. So it's a disaster of a financial situation for TNA at this point. I don't even know what Billy Corgan would be buying if he were to buy the company, because they don't apparently own anything that they actually say they own.
And that's the strangest thing. If he wanted to, and Dixie was willing to sign off on it, technically could he buy the thing outright, get the creditor, or just anyone who's owed money is paid? Yeah, but it's going to be substantial. I mean, we don't know the actual number. I've certainly heard figures, and it's, we're talking a significant amount of debt that this company has out there. And if he were to buy it all and the debt's cleared and everything and he's basically starting from scratch, he's getting some sort of an infrastructure, the Pop television deal, which I think has about a little over a year left on it and isn't considered to be a great deal by any means. I've said before, Spike TV, whatever that was, Destination America was said to be worth about half of that. And then the Pop deal was estimated by someone to be between 5 and 10% of what Spike TV was. And so it's not a great television deal. Then you're getting the TNA tape library, which is worth, at this point, Jake, I mean, is it safe to feel, I know there's other interested parties, but if Vince McMahon wants it, even as Billy Corgan had said when he was talking about this, if Vince McMahon wants it, he's going to get it. And so it kind of feels like it's worth basically whatever Vince McMahon decides it's worth.
Yeah, I don't even know what other positive assets they actually own at this point. It seems like Aerolux is, technically, by the lien that they have in the company, they own the rings and equipment and everything else. And I guess TNA owns the talent contracts and the video library. That's really their only positive asset at this point.
And those talent contracts, I mean, somebody told me a while ago that, they've been in breach at various points. I don't know that they're completely caught up or not, but so even though they have talent under contract, you just got to wonder, now Billy buys it, everything gets paid up, or anyone buys it for that matter, and they pay up, okay. But I just don't know what the advantage is at this point. It's a damaged brand name. He's already said the first thing he would do is change the name, and so I just don't know what it is that is making people want to buy this company. It has to be some belief that the tape library is worth a good chunk of change or is important. We've seen with Jeff Jarrett and Global Force Wrestling, securing a television time slot is not an easy deal. But I just don't know. I mean, we know that Billy Corgan has talked. He spoke openly about this with the head of Pop TV. Now, that was at a time when he thought he was going to buy the company, but I think it's safe to assume there's some sort of a relationship there. And I'm just at the point where I wonder if TNA were to file bankruptcy and just go away, if Pop TV still wants in the wrestling game, and they have that relationship with Billy Corgan established now to some whatever degree it's at, if there's nothing preventing that, I can't think there would be anything if TNA goes under, essentially. Why wouldn't you just start from scratch, Jake? I don't get it.
that's a good question. I really don't know, because if you're buying TNA, you're going to want to, I mean, having the tape library, if you're going to change the name, I guess is somewhat valuable, because you might want to sell that later, you know, if you're in a situation where you need to unload and get some capital back. But I mean, I don't think a brand new company is going to be in the position to like start a streaming service and sell the TNA, you know, tape library and make it valuable. You know, I think it's only worth money to WWE at this point, and it's going to be whatever they feel it's worth is what it's worth. So I don't know why you wouldn't start a new company at this point, because the talent contracts you're going to want to renegotiate anyway. You're going to have to renegotiate all of TNA's debt, which, you know, appears to be rather significant, and you're going to have to probably renegotiate with your TV partner coming up in a very soon anyway. So I think if Billy has relationships in the entertainment industry and he wants to start a wrestling promotion, and he thinks he knows the right TV people, and he obviously has some relationships with wrestlers now that he's been in TNA for a significant amount of time, and he has the support of that locker room, at least that's what it appears like publicly, it seems like he would have an easier time just transitioning and starting his own company. And that's why, you know, I brought up earlier, you know, he should just try to get as much of his money out of this as he can, and take that and do something more productive with it.
Yeah, if you have that television in, I that's what I would do at this point. And I know he's loyal to the talent and the people who work for this company. He's expressed that publicly, and I do believe he's sincere with that. But it doesn't mean you can't bring them on board. You know, I mean, there many of them are going to be free agents if anything happens with TNA. Now, if somebody else is stepping in to buy the company, and you don't have access, and you're basically, you really are starting from scratch at that point, there's no pop, you know, as far as like Billy is concerned. I mean, they did have a deal Destination America had a deal with Ring of Honor at the same time they had one with TNA. But still, I mean, it's just, I don't know exactly what, I hope that when everything is said and done, he actually lays it out and explains what it is that interests him so much about this. Because I don't think, you know, you and I have talked before during .NET Weekly, I don't think Billy Corgan, I don't think of him as a money mark. I think, and maybe I'll be proven wrong on that, but I think he's an intelligent guy. He's a longtime fan of pro wrestling. I think there's a business strategy here, and I just want to hear him lay it out at some point. But I understand why that's not happening right now. You talked about, there was the creditors listed through uniformed commercial code filings, and this is something that I want to give fair credit. Even and I'm not pointing the finger at him, but even if not everyone's giving fair credit, I will. But David Bixenspan is the first person that I know of that had this list. And Jake, what story did that tell? I mean, we covered some of it already.
I think it just told the timing, basically, that there was a debt taken on by Impact Ventures to Aerolux earlier this year in March, and then there was another debt taken on in August, I believe it was, to Anthem or the Fight Network, and then another one on September 30th to that MCC Acquisition Corp, which seems to be a shell company of Anthem Sports or the Fight Network that they used to make a second loan to TNA. And I guess that is yet to be clear, but they share an address, and it looks like it was made somewhat 11th hour just to get Bound for Glory on, you know, on pay-per-view. And so that's what I'm guessing at this point, and that's not, you know, a confirmed account or anything. But then there was also another filing made on October 11th between a personal loan between Billy Corgan and Dixie Carter specifically. It doesn't list Impact Ventures or any of the other TNA executive officers. So that appears to be some kind of personal debt between those two that ended up getting filed as well. So those are the four loans that we are aware of TNA has taken on this year. And that appears to, you know, be something that they did to cover, you know, just expenses to keep the company afloat and whatever debt that they had to pay that they carried over from 2015.
And also, in the interest of giving fair credit, Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com was the first to have the audience of one lawsuit details. They're public record, but still fair is fair. Mike was the one to put that out there. And just kind of jumping back to that, I know we're kind of bouncing all over the place, Jake. Knowing that there's other debt out there, I mean, how damning is this for TNA? Again, it's one side of the story, but I mean, it's laid out pretty thoroughly. And I mean, again, TNA will have their chance to tell their version of the events. But I mean, what are we looking at here? I mean, they're essentially being accused of fraud. Does this go beyond just the... Do we start getting into any concern that people are eventually going to be hauled off in handcuffs? Or is this, this is just a business matter?
I really have a... I mean, is it possible if they're able to prove a certain level of deception? I think, you know, somebody could pursue criminal charges, but I hesitate to jump to that conclusion. I think this is going to get sorted out in civil court, and there's going to be, you know, some kind of monetary compensation going around. And I'm sure, you know, Audience of One Productions is probably going, you know, if TNA ends up going into bankruptcy, they're going to want to be included on that and in order to get some of their money back. This is purely financial, you know, in terms of what the lawsuits that have been filed thus far. There's no, you know, inkling of criminal proceedings at all. My take on it is it'll probably just get sorted out with money. I don't think anybody's going to do any jail time, but that doesn't excuse, you know, deception and fraud and you know, completely unconscionable behavior. I mean, if this story that's told in the lawsuit that was filed in circuit court for Audience of One Productions is remotely true, I mean, it just sounds like TNA lied through their teeth repeatedly to these people who had done them, you know, service for, you know, over a period of months, just keeping their show on the air. It's really unfair.
It's a shame. I mean, it just to see this, see it come to this. You know, I mean, I feel bad for the company. I feel bad for Audience of One. I feel bad for TNA that they're in this position, but they keep putting themselves in weird positions. Jake, I get you're operating on. I don't even know if you can call it a shoestring budget, because at this point, you're just taking on more and more debt. You really don't even have a budget, but you're just taking on more and more debt. And yet we keep seeing occasionally new faces pop up on TNA. The latest, I mean, they unless it was a work, they claim they signed Brandi Rhodes to an actual contract. Cody is working as an independent contractor. Where, I mean, they don't have the money for this. Why do they keep introducing new faces?
Yeah, that part of it is still, I mean, it's something that you really have to think about. You know, what is the mindset here? You know, you're not only are you in debt up to your eyeballs at this point, but, you know, you're continually telling your talent that nothing is wrong, that, you know, oh, we're waiting on money coming in, and then that's why we're behind. And it's just, you're waiting on people to borrow you money in order to keep you afloat. Like, you're not waiting on money coming in from your television deal. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, gives them some revenue, but they've been keeping the money afloat on borrowed, you know, income for a long time now. You know, it's been months and months and months, and they've been behind in the past, and this isn't the first production company they've run afoul of. And you know, it reeks of a business climate where, you know, deceptively entering into contracts is something that they do on a regular basis. And I think it speaks incredibly poorly for how that company has been run from a business standpoint. I mean, how many people inside of that company were actually aware of it? That's another question entirely. You know, it's like, you know, all these other, you know, companies that have gone under for bad financial practices. It's usually very few people and a lot of very innocent people caught up in the crossfire.
You know, and in some cases, okay, I would think Cody's a smart guy. He knows the lay of the land. He hears the stories about TNA, and you know, so it's not like they went into this not knowing that TNA was in this position, but it's still a rough position to be in. You're taking. I know they had at least some conversations with Alberto Del Rio or Alberto El Patron, and he hasn't shown up in TNA yet, and maybe he never will. But I mean, they're still actively talking with people, and that aren't going to come cheap. Brandi, she's new to being a wrestler, but I have no idea what her deal is. But I can't think that Cody is a cheap booking. And you know, there's a number of other people out there that they continue to pursue. And it's I don't know if it's the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, but I mean, at some point you'd think somebody would step in and say, "This is our roster. We need to make it work with this roster. End of story. Until we get this resolved." And for some reason, they just keep spending money. Maybe they're finding creative ways to stick within the same budget, but there's no money there for that budget, Jake. That's the thing that just gets me. They keep it's just so. I mean, what is her motivation right now? Knowing it's been this bad for at least this long, if not longer. If you have people that are trying to buy your company, you should be thrilled right now. I mean, I'm sure I get you're trying to strike the best deal you possibly can, but I mean, she just, it seems like Tiana Dixie Carter and company are just digging the hole deeper with every day that passes.
You know, I hate to play amateur psychologist, but it really sounds to me like it's an ego thing. I mean, is that unfair? I mean, it seems like she's just really invested in saving face for herself and trying to prevent her public reputation from being destroyed. And in order to do that, she's engaged in some, you know, potentially very shady business practices. And that's a shame. I mean, I she had a reputation of being, you know, somewhat naive, but I don't think anybody ever thought this of them, you know, that they would be going to this level to potentially defraud people and that it would come to litigation. And, you know, we've seen wrestling companies go out of business because they ran out of money before, but this is unique.
It is. And okay. Looking at that lawsuit, the audience of one lawsuit, is there a chance that it's okay? They thought for some reason more money was going to be coming in. I don't know how. Maybe they thought they were going to sell or, you know, I mean, I want to at least try to give them some out on this and try to think of what their defense for this could be, Jake.
Maybe it was wishful thinking on their part, but in order to continue to do it over months and months and months, I mean, it's either some very grand self-delusion that's going on here, or you have people inside the company that are, you know, that are running things that, you know, in a way that Dixie Carter is completely unaware of. You know, that those are your options, I guess. You know, either she has people working underneath her that are trying to protect her, that are doing, you know, don't pay attention to what the dirty hand is doing, you know, look at the clean hand over here kind of thing. I don't know, but if anything happened according to the way that, you know, that lawsuit claims it does, I'd have a hard time believing that there wasn't, you know, at least the senior management staff weren't aware of what was going on there.
Well, it does say that they reached out to Dixie, you know, about this matter and you know, didn't hear back from her. I mean, it's, you know, Dean Broadhead was the one dealing with them mostly. And production woes have been going on for a long time. I mean, there were stories. I remember Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com had a story about production crews, about, you know, the staff not being paid in a timely manner. I know there was at least one occasion, if not two, where production people just said basically they weren't going to do the tapings unless they were paid, and TNA had to find a way to get them their money that day. And so, I mean, things like this have been going on for a long time. It really looks rough right now. There's nothing saying someone can't step in and buy it. And you know, then we kind of go into the great unknown of, okay, who's the person that bought this? And are they a money mark? And yeah, I mean, because Jake, is if this ends anytime soon, is that the legacy of Dixie Carter, as much as she may not want it to be, is that she's just been an all-out money mark?
Yeah, I mean, clearly she was in over her head. I mean, and you know, she brought in people that were giving her, you know, rather unrealistic advice, and she took that unrealistic advice, and it's unfortunate that, you know, there wasn't really a voice of reason there. You know, you say that a lot about, you know, somebody who gets classified as a money mark. It's just like, well, where was the people around her that were saying, are you kidding me? You know, it didn't seem like there was that voice, or if there was, it was ignored. And I guess if that is her legacy, then, you know, she has to live with it, because she's done everything in her power to protect, you know, whatever reputation that she thought she had, you know, by, you know, going through this whole process of extending the life of the company beyond its financial feasibility.
And I do know many people over the years who have, it, you know, made it seem like it's the latter, where you try to talk to her about things that are negative, and she doesn't want to hear them. That's been her rep for as long as she's been around. If there's been anything negative, she doesn't want to deal with it. She doesn't want to talk about it with a number of people. Doesn't mean she's that way with everyone in the company, but that's certainly been her rep. And I, just to clarify, they're done taping all but the Hardy shoot through the end of 2016. So they're good to go that way. They bought themselves some time by taping ahead. They'll be in December, assuming that taping happens, the all Hardy, you know, Broken Hardy Universe type show. And but otherwise, everything else is taped. The last two shows of the year are slated to be best of shows. And so they have some time as far as getting their ducks in a row prior to January, when you would, that's their next planned television taping is sometime in January. I would think the first week in January, unless they're going to do yet another best of show. And I don't think that's that. It's certainly not the plan. But they did run into an issue last night. There was a song licensing issue for music. Well, the story that started to come out, I started hearing from people on Thursday afternoon that there's a chance Impact doesn't air. And this the version of events was that, or the claim at the time, that it was that, well, Billy Corgan's trying to block the show from airing because of unlicensed music, and people were assuming that it was his music. Not the case. Billy Corgan's music is basically, they're fine with that. If you watched the show last night, you heard the TNA theme that Billy Corgan wrote. He has he uses music for his own entrance, the TNA theme, and then Rockstar Spud. Spud wasn't on the show last night, but it sounds like everything is fine with them using Billy Corgan's music that he's given to the company or signed over to the company for use. The problem was with two songs written by their longtime composer, Dale Oliver, and their newer themes for both The Miracle, Mike Bennett, and DJ Z. And if you saw the show, they just ended up basically, to paraphrase Matt Hardy, they deleted those songs. They just came out to no entrance music whatsoever. You could hear the crowd, no entrance music. So that was the solution. And it's a licensing issue. And even after that, even after people were kind of pointing the finger at Billy saying, well, yeah, but he's the one who caused this. He's the one who made it, you know, made people aware of this. He's trying to screw with the company. Jake, I don't think that's it. Billy Corgan works in the music industry. He's identified as the president of this company. If the company that he is president of gets caught up in some sort of a light music licensing scandal, that looks horrible for Billy Corgan in his other line of work. He had to do this.
Yeah, that's really something else. I mean, I'm assuming it has to do with Dale Oliver not getting paid. I mean, that makes the most sense given everything that we've found out over the last 24 hours.
Probably, but I mean, could be they didn't have the proper paperwork, and who knows?
Yeah, I guess, you know, licensing issues could be any number of things. But I would think if anybody could cut through the red tape and know what to do about it, it would probably be Corgan. But I mean, it seems kind of silly that, you know, that they wouldn't have this squared away by the time the show aired. I don't know what could have came up all of a sudden that would have caused this, but you know, I hope we get a statement from TNA or Billy on it, because clearly it, you know, if anything, it's just a little embarrassing.
It very, yeah. And if you're Pop TV, what are you thinking? You know, I mean, are you worried now that they've been airing unlicensed music on these shows, and not just Pop, but I mean, I'm curious to hear if anyone sees the show in an international market, if those songs were pulled from there as well, or, you know, if they had time to do that. I don't think this is just a this week issue, but I think it came up this week, and the right move was made, and I do believe it was Billy Corgan stepping in and making it aware, but I don't think it was for the reasons that people were paranoid about, that, oh, now he's trying to sabotage the company, things didn't go his way, because I did hear some of that yesterday, and it's like, no, I think he's trying to save the company, save his own reputation, one, but also save the company from incurring more financial debt, because, Jake, you don't want to mess with the music industry. They've, you know, as some housewives have found out, even for downloading music that they shouldn't have. I mean, they're not afraid to play hardball.
No, and it's usually over money. That's why I was like, well, if it's anything, it's probably over somebody getting paid. It strikes me as odd that, you know, they would have the rights for a certain number, you know, of weeks. You know, clearly we've had these themes air on these shows for, you know, for quite a while now. And then, you know, to have them suddenly, you know, cut off because of a licensing dispute, it must mean that, you know, somebody's payments haven't been coming in the mail, would be my guess. But that's just a guess. I mean, I can't imagine Dale Oliver suddenly decided he wanted to cut, you know, ties with TNA unless he's got some other lucrative music deal he's got going on.
Yeah, I mean, he is still with the company. They are using their, I can't remember her name, but there was a story that kind of a, I don't know, a friend or just a, some sort of a partner with Billy Corgan has been doing some of the music as well. So it hasn't been as much Dale Oliver as it has been in the past. He's been with them since basically, you know, 2002 when the Carters came into it, because he is a longtime collaborator with Serge Salinas, Dixie's husband, who's a musician. And, I mean, I'd be surprised if that relationship completely fell apart and he's the one forcing the issue. I don't believe that, but I could be wrong just because of that longtime friendship. But I guess longtime friendships fall apart all the time. But that is a story we put out there first last night coming out of the Impact show, explaining why why those songs didn't air for Mike Bennett and DJ Z. And I guess we'll keep watching Impact to see if they get this resolved or if there's going to be other songs that that they have to pull from the show. I mean, all of this, Jake, it just makes things look so bleak right now for TNA. And I mean, just any final thoughts on where all this is heading or anything we didn't cover for that matter?
I guess the only thing that really threw me off was the was that one filing of the personal loan between Dixie Carter and Corgan, because that wasn't between, you know, Billy Corgan and the company. I mean, that was, you know, that was her specifically. So I'm interested to see how all this falls out. You know, are we going to find out that, you know, Corgan has been, you know, keeping Dixie afloat somehow? You know, I don't know.
Let me throw this scenario out there. Is it possible that, okay, yeah, if I give the company more money, the company can go bankrupt and I don't see that money, but I, you know, the belief is still that Dixie Carter has money on a personal level. She's just choosing not to invest everything into TNA. So the scenario you're throwing out there, maybe she doesn't, but if it is the case of she has money, it's kind of like when WCW wrestlers would get deals through Time Warner, AOL Time Warner, rather than WCW itself. Because
I believe James Storm has a deal directly with Panda Energy.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, I think there are others that I know in the past that have done, maybe at the executive level even, that have gotten deals from Panda rather than TNA itself. And so I wonder if that's the reason why they took that approach.
It's very possible, although I don't know why he would be loaning Panda Energy any money. I think their situation has been, you know, well, we can continue to dump money into this, but at some point it has to survive on its own two feet. And we've seen, you know, the effort that has been put into making that happen over the past couple of years, and it's been pretty ugly.
It has been, and nothing new as far as, you know, there was a lot of speculation about a week or so ago that WWE was buying the library and Billy Corgan was going to buy the company separately and exist without. And the only thing I was told on that is, yeah, I mean, there's certainly, we know there were just talks with WWE going back into February, and those heated up again recently. But as far from the Billy Corgan side of things, it doesn't sound like that was ever and something that was presented that as an option. I'm sure they considered it, but it doesn't sound like it was ever like a formal pitch or anything that he would carry on without that. So I think he does have some interest in the library, or at least did. I don't know where his head is at today, and I think that's one of the many questions still remaining to be answered. But Jake, unless you have more, I think we'll wrap it up there. Just kind of wanted to catch everybody up on what is going on in TNA as best we can tell, and next week at this time should be very interesting as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of open questions out there, and then hopefully, you know, we'll have some answers by this time next week. Although with the lawsuit hearing not coming up until Thursday, it may be difficult to have much more to go on until more facts start hitting the internet.
Very true. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. By the way, Jake and I got together yesterday for .NET Weekly. You can find out what we were saying about all of this and a lot more. We certainly talked about WWE, Hell in a Cell, the idea of having three cell matches, Survivor Series, and kind of had conflicting viewpoints on whether it's a good idea for WWE to have Raw versus SmackDown matches on the show. We talked Goldberg, Lesnar, and much, much more. If you're interested in membership, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net, and you will find the sign-up area. Once you're in there, three different pricing options are available to you. You can sign up for $7.50 for 1 month, or you can save yourself some money by taking advantage of our six-month or annual membership. The six-month will save you some money, and that annual brings the price down to an average of $5.50 a month. You're going to knock $2 per month off of your membership pricing if you take advantage of the annual option. And for that matter, I'll tell you this. If you want to save yourself some money on the monthly, check out the Jim Ross podcast that I was a part of on Monday night, dropped on Tuesday. And for that matter, you'll hear in there Jim Ross and I talking about this. And I said this, I was hearing this whole TNA thing was headed to litigation. And so we talked about that and much more on the Jim Ross podcast over at podcast1.com. Or you can get it directly at Jim Ross's JR's Barbecue website, jrsbarbecue.com. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Take care.